Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our special devotion on this, the second Sunday of Easter, is recorded in Acts chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. We'll be beginning an Easter series today, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And we'll see various phrases from that familiar hymn throughout this season. Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. Not long after World War I had ended, an important Soviet leader by the name of Bukharin was sent to the city of Kiev to address a large anti-God rally. He spoke for over an hour, using the full weight of his expertise and his arguments, and he heaped scorn upon the Christian faith. And it seemed as though no one in the hall that night could possibly leave with any faith intact at all. When his speech was finally finished, there was silence throughout the audience. The master of ceremonies rose, and he invited anyone in the audience to come forward and make a point or ask a question. And at first, nobody stood up and came forward. But then an old man who was dressed in the robes of a Russian Orthodox priest walked slowly through the crowd and mounted the steps up to the platform. And as he stood alongside Bukharin, he raised his arms and in a loud, clear voice, he said, "Christ is risen." And instantly the whole crowd rose to its feet, and the reply came thundering back, "He is risen indeed." Bukharin stood dumbfounded, and the anti-God rally was over. Easter marked the great day of triumph for Jesus. The day when all of his enemies, when all of those who spoke against him, were tossed aside and trampled. Easter was the day when the best efforts of Jesus' opponents ended in total failure. On Easter Sunday, Jesus rose triumphant over all of the evil that had been planned for him. Take a look back for a moment and see all that was brought to nothing on the third day. Remember the Pharisees and teachers of the law who worked so hard to get rid of Jesus because he was a threat to their work-righteous religion and a threat to their control and influence over the people? They were not sorry at all to see Jesus dead and buried. But when he rose from the dead, where did that leave them? All their efforts to get rid of Jesus had only ended in his return to life. The resurrection marked Jesus' triumph, and it marked their failure. After Jesus was arrested, he had been led to Annas and Caiaphas. These men represented the highest religious court of the Jews, and they too were interested in getting rid of Jesus. So they staged an unjust trial in order to accuse Jesus of religious crimes. He claimed to be the Son of God, they said, and according to our law, he must die. They didn't care whether it was true or not. They used every bit of political conniving and contriving they could get in order to have Jesus executed. But when he appeared alive again, not many hours later, what did their foolish little obstruction of justice matter? What had their puny little efforts been able to do to Jesus anyway? The resurrection marked his triumph and their failure. Pilate, the Roman governor, had allowed public pressure to convince him to do evil to Jesus. He was able to say yes or no to the request to crucify the Lord, but he wanted to please the crowd, and so he allowed them to take Jesus away. But what had Pilate's weakness and wickedness been able to do in the long run? It was not able to keep Jesus dead, that's for sure. The resurrection marked Jesus' triumph and Pilate's failure. And there were all the others. The mob that continued to shout, "Crucify." The soldiers who cast lots for his clothing at the foot of the cross. Jesus looked for someone to have pity on him, but there was no man. Neither found he any to comfort him. And yet on Easter Sunday, the simple words, "He is risen," took the entire load of this sin and wickedness that had been planned and enacted against Jesus and made it appear foolish and irrelevant. What did Annas and Caiaphas mean now? Nothing. They fade into historical oblivion after the resurrection. What about Pilate's weakness and the efforts of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Nothing. Nothing, nothing. All these plans against Jesus were shattered when he came back to life. Everything that everyone had tried to do to get rid of him and to keep him in the grave had failed. Everything that the enemies of Jesus had hoped for now lay in ruins, because he had risen from the dead. "The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus," Peter said. "You handed him over to be killed. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead." Even later, when Jesus' enemies tried to circulate stories that he had not really risen from the dead, even that was overthrown by the power of God working in the simple words, "He is risen." The words of Psalm 2 also express this triumph of Jesus on Easter day. "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." Easter is God's laughter. Easter is God's ridicule toward anyone who opposes the Son. Easter is Christ throwing it back in the face of the devil. "He is risen" is the victory cry. The victory cry of him who was triumphant over all the evil that had been planned for him. The rulers gathered together against the Lord. They gathered together against God's anointed one. And what happened? They could not get rid of Jesus, no matter what they did. This Jesus, yes, is even triumphant today over all the evil that is still brought against him. Just as the message of the resurrection brought to nothing those who intended to crucify him back then, So the message of the resurrection still brings to nothing those who work against him today. Those who drag his holy name through the mud, refuse to recognize him as the Son of God, or do whatever they can to get rid of him in the minds and hearts of people everywhere, they all must stand silent as he rises from the dead. Best of all, though, Jesus rises triumphant over all your evil. Because we don't want to think that it was just everybody else who disowned the holy and righteous one, while we stood as innocent bystanders. Because it was for each and every one of our sins, too, that Jesus suffered the pains of eternal hell at the hands of his heavenly Father. It was for the sins of the world, and that includes yours and mine. It was for those sins that Jesus went to the grave in the first place and allowed himself to endure that agony that would have been handed to us. We have stood plenty in opposition to Jesus too. Our sins drove him to that cross just as much as the guilt of Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate. Like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we have not always wanted Jesus to rule over us. We have given in to pressure the way Pilate did, washed our hands of Jesus, so to speak. And we have denied him when it seemed more convenient than defending him. So it was not just the wicked crowd, but all of our guilt too shouted, "Crucify him." All our guilt that was laid on his shoulders also demanded that he be put to death. But for as hard as our sinful flesh tried to get rid of Jesus and still tries, for as much as our evils try to kill him forever, the news still rings out clear and triumphant. He is risen. When Jesus stepped out of that tomb, then he was not only trampling on all the evil that others had tried to do to him, but he was trampling on all the evil that we have ever tried to do to him too. In his resurrection, Jesus, your Savior, tosses aside your sins. He casts away your doubts, your words against him, your sinful thoughts. They are all meaningless now. Your worst sins could not keep him in the grave, for he had already paid for them with his own life. He is risen. He is triumphant over all the things in you that are displeasing to God. And that is what makes him your Savior. That's why the apostles emphasized the resurrection so much in the years after Jesus ascended into heaven. It's because his resurrection shows how sin's terrors are destroyed by Jesus. How in his resurrection, our guilt is wiped away forever. And if by rising from the dead, Jesus could triumph over our wickedness so many years ago, he can certainly continue now to help us win the victory over evil day by day in our lives. As Psalm 118 says, "The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies." He rose back to life again for you to live forever. He rose to be the one that you put your confidence in, to serve you and to prepare you for that heavenly welcome that awaits all those whose sins have been crushed underfoot by the glory of the empty tomb. Jesus lives triumphant from the grave, triumphant over all of the evil that was planned for him and triumphant over all of your evil as well. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives triumphant from the grave. Everything anti-God, the unbelieving world, our own trespasses, all are silenced like that Soviet leader 100 years ago. All are silenced by the simple phrase, "He is risen." And so, like the hymn writer says, we welcome the happy morning. Age to age shall say, hell today is vanquished, defeated. Heaven is won today. Amen.